the words of the Apostle Paul written to the church in Rome. Reading from the 12th chapter. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing so, this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Just over a week ago, Eastern Oklahoma Presbytery gathered here in Tulsa for one of our quarterly meetings. And while there is a whole host of issues I would love to discuss with you about that meeting, I'll share with you something a bit different that occurred at this gathering. Matt Johnson from the Apprentice Institute, a spiritual organization, was our guest preacher, and he also shared a special presentation entitled Intentional Community. And in order to form authentic and intentional community, Matt said that we need what is called an overarching rule of life. And he gave the following example. Picture a triangle, and at the top of the triangle is prayer. And that leads to the second point, which is hospitality, which in turn leads to the third point, justice. And at the very center of the triangle is the presence of Christ, God's sacred presence among and within us. And altogether, it forms and guides a community of faith in a model of discernment, a desire to know, and then work toward God's agenda for the life and the ministry that we do together. Now, this isn't a new idea. People in the area of spirituality have always known that a balanced life of faith involves a time of contemplation and a time of action. The balance between being and doing. And for any community of faith, including this one, of equal importance to the inward and the outward dimensions of a journey of faith is how we live together and treat one another. That's the important step of hospitality. And hospitality, which I'll delve into more in just a moment, is more than just kind words of welcome. Hospitality, from a biblical standpoint, involves something much deeper. It is welcoming the other into our midst by making room for them in our hearts. There is then an intentional emphasis on dignity, respect, and for openness to differences. And hospitality must be a core element then in how we live together in community. Now, back in my youth ministry years, we used to make a group covenant. That was made up of a list of values that we all agreed to live by. And a typical group covenant would usually include things like listen carefully to each other, respect the right of each person to have different opinions, attend and participate fully, make everyone feel part of the group, honor confidentiality of what is shared in a group setting. And if it hadn't already been mentioned, I'd always add, have fun. You may be interested to know that a year or so ago when I was walking through the Kids Connection room up on the second floor here at the church, I saw a group covenant of sorts posted on the wall. And I was very impressed, and it's still posted there. It's called the Big Kid Rule List. And it includes things like, be awesome. I think I know who wrote that one. Be nice. Always be polite. Help younger kids. Share. Help clean up. Be respectful of everyone. And I think my favorite, if younger kids are sad, make them feel better. What a great list. The wisdom of young people never ceases to amaze me. Well, group covenants do indeed serve a very important role in how any community decides how to live and be with one another. So one of the first activities when the committees gather later this week for the General Assembly of the PCUSA in Portland, Oregon, is to talk about their covenant expectations of what will guide their relationships and their work and their time together. And as a commissioner and a moderator of a committee, I very much look forward to this process because I know how important it can be. Now, most congregations, and I would suspect almost any organization or institute, also lives by or is guided by what is usually an unwritten or unspoken covenant agreement. And that is how I would like us to approach the list provided by the Apostle Paul in Romans 10 as a kind of group covenant for us. It's printed in part on the cover of this morning's bulletin. These verses serve almost as a to-do list on how to live together in authentic community. And they serve as a crucial trait that we are to exhibit as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And in actuality, what it provides is a window onto what life in Christ looks like in community. Therefore, we can kind of use it as a measuring stick. See how well we are doing. My thoughts at this point again turn to our Presbyterian denomination, which at times suffers greatly from a lack of authentic community and trust. As we look at this list, two major themes emerge. The first is the way Christians are to manifest genuine love, and the second are the obligations that we have towards strangers and enemies. And it all begins with the directive. Let your love be genuine. Almost implies that love can be ungenuine, which wouldn't be love at all. So genuine means love without pretense, without play acting, without ulterior motives. It literally means without hypocrisy. Not surprisingly, love stands at the very top of the list. And it provides, in fact, a context for all of Paul's other exhortations, which flesh out an understanding of what love actually entails. So one of the ways we love one another, Paul states, is to live with mutual affection toward one another. Now, the word affection in this context means true and honest caring for the well-being of others. But are there not times when we don't truly care all that much for the well-being of another? And Paul goes on to add that we are to rejoice when others are rejoicing, to weep when others are weeping. We learn that only genuine empathy can make this with authentic community then comes responsibility toward each other. Therefore, Paul also tells us to outdo one another in showing honor. How do you show honor to one another when we gather here at this church? Extending that, how do you show honor to those with whom you interact on a daily basis? Next, Paul tells us to not lag in zeal, to be ardent in spirit, to serve the Lord, to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Authentic community then is marked by energy and dedication and hopefulness and patience and perseverance in spiritual disciplines. There is an entire sermon, of course, in each one of these. And there are several other exhortations on this to-do list, like bless those who curse you. There's a sermon. Associate with the lowly. Be humble. And overcome evil with good. Again, these are an outgrowth of living in genuine love for others. But I want to focus on just one particular exhortation in Paul's list. I think that the well-being of any congregation, or presbytery, or denomination, or even the nation depends on it. The second half of Romans 12:13 commands us to extend hospitality to strangers. What is biblical hospitality? As I mentioned earlier, it's way more than just a kind and casual, good morning, how are you doing? It's good to see you and I'm glad you're here. Now, that is certainly part of it, but it is only the very beginning. Genuine hospitality demands much more of ourselves, including a reaching out beyond our own comfort zones. Hospitality, I like to say, is a way of saying, everyone counts. Everyone. There can be no genuine relationship with another without hospitality. And here's why. Renowned author on Christian spirituality, Henry Nouwen, writes, hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom not disturbed by dividing lines. Hospitality, he continues, creates a friendly and safe space where strangers can enter and discover themselves as created free. Free to sing their own songs, speak their own languages, dance their own dances. Free also to lead and follow their own vocation. Free to listen to the rain. You know, hospitality is a huge issue for me, and I know it is for this congregation. So in my studies, I came across a book not long ago that's entitled Radical Hospitality. If you're going to do a hospitality, you might as well be radical about it. It's by Lonnie Collins Pratt with Father Daniel Holman, who's a Benedictine monk. And I hadn't actually read the book, however. I buy a lot of books and seldomly read them unless I am encouraged to do so. Until P.J. Robson, our moderator of the worship and music ministry team here, used it as part of his opening devotional at the February session meeting. And P.J. passed out strips of paper with quotes from the book, sharing the meaning of hospitality. And we read them aloud and then shared any personal reflections. And I would like to read some of them now, along with additional ones that caught my attention. And as I do, reflect upon these understandings of how genuine, radical hospitality can affect your relationships and our authentic community together. To become hospitable means finding ways to welcome the marginalized, forgotten, and misunderstood among us.
Hospitality is about transforming our hearts and our communities. It is about justice for every soul. One of the peculiarities about really hospitable people is that they don't go around looking for ways to be hospitable. They simply give it a try when there's a chance to do so. It isn't about results, it's about changing the universe by becoming available to one person at one sliver of time. Hospitality is not about social graces, but it's about mutual reverence. Hospitality teaches us to offer an open heart, a stance of availability, and to look for God lurking within every single person who comes through the door. Hospitality is the answer to hostility. Jesus said to love your neighbor, and hospitality is how. Acceptance of another, when we use that word acceptance, it is about receiving rather than judging. Acceptance is not about condoning. It is about embracing. When we accept, we take an open stance to the other person. It is more than mere pious tolerance. We stand in the same space and simply appreciate who they are. Right now, at this moment, and affirm the sacred in them. Well, that's just found in the first 27 pages of the book. But there are a few more that I'd like to share. In genuine hospitality, we work to make our entire existence a welcoming table, a place prepared for others to be at ease, to receive from us comfort and strength. One more. Focus on opening your heart. Look inside and see if you can find an empty space to let someone in. I think that encapsulates the whole concept of hospitality. Looking inside to see if you can find an empty space to let someone else in. Speaking of which, God is sometimes referred to as the Holy Other. And if that's the case, then how are you and I, individually and as a congregation, opening up a space in our heart for God? Since I believe personally that God is already in there, then perhaps that means uncovering and unburying that sacred presence. So the question I would like to ask for you to ponder this week is this. How are you creating space in your own heart? How are we creating space in this congregation in our corporate heart for others? The spiritual life and authentic community involve more than prayer and works of justice. They also include genuine, radical hospitality. Let's do this. Let's be known as a place of radical hospitality.